Well, I've got on the line from Calgary in Canada, Janice McLeod. Now, Janice is the author of a best-selling book called Paris Letters, but she's just produced a new book called A Paris Year. Welcome to Travel Writers Radio, Janice.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Well, I've got your second book here. As I said to you offline, I haven't read the first one, but I'm sure it's as fascinating as this one is. And what I love about this is that you've done the lot. You've written the book, you've illustrated various pages, you've photographed things to fill in. I think you've pulled your stamp collection out and you've spread that through the book. So it's actually, you know, when I first looked at the potential of talking to someone about a year in Paris, I thought, oh, does anybody need another book about time spent in France? But yours is a breath of fresh air, I have to say. It's a guide to the city more than a memoir of your own, I think, although it probably fulfills both roles, would you say?
Oh, yeah. I only know a thing or two about a thing or two, so I only include the things that I know, which I guess is the memoir aspect of the book.
Yeah, and a daily diary, one wonders if the Daily Diary is going to be like a hardcover version of Facebook and therefore one shrinks back, but clearly this is not. I mean, this is full of interesting remembrances and, you know, I turned to page two of the book and there's my favourite street in Paris, Rue Mouffetard, which you lived on apparently.
Yes, I lived right at the bottom by the fountain.
Okay, and I think that fountain figures in Les Misérables.
It's entirely possible.
Yeah, I think it does. And Victor Hugo included that street. It was a tannery originally, as you mentioned in your remembrance of it.
And yes, because the river runs underneath the street. So it was a tannery way back when.
And the river contributes to the Seine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. And I do love what you've done with this book. Were you rigorous in sitting down every day to write the piece that you've included?
I was. In 2010, I made a New Year's resolution to recommit to writing in my journal every day. Of course I did. It was a New Year's resolution that I could actually keep. And so I kept on writing and writing and writing. And when I arrived in Paris, it was so beautiful and so lovely that my writing took a turn and I started to sketch in the book. And then I added paint because I had this little set of watercolors. And I would add photos to my book and I would add interesting facts and I would find out, I would find interesting quotes and I would add that to my journal pages every day. Now, it was a heaping mess, of course, but it was my mess. I mean, nobody can read my writing, but I can read it. So this book, A Paris Year, is a well-curated version of that original messy journal.
Well, it's come up beautifully, I have to say. And it's also, it's typeset in a particular font that looks like it's handwritten. I don't know what that font's called, but it's quite readable in that sense. And the print's larger than it would be in a normal book, so I think it's probably going to appeal to a broad audience. Take us back a little bit to how you came to be in Paris. You're a Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Are you fascinated, as many North Americans are, with Paris and I guess the Hemingway years?
Well, yes, of course. I mean, it's pretty easy to be fascinated with Paris. It does have this kind of mystique, and the legend of Paris is so huge. But I didn't plan on living in Paris. I was living in California for a long time, and I wanted to quit my job because I was a copywriter in an ad agency, and you know, burnout was getting to me. So I decided to save up a lot and quit my job and travel around Europe. That's as far as I got. And of course, all of this is laid out in the first book, Paris Letters. But I met this lovely man in Paris, and I had that kind of typical little Paris love affair. And he asked me to stick around. So I stuck around for a little bit. And then that became a little bit longer and a little bit longer. And eventually we married and my journals grew and grew and grew, and here we are. Well, here we are in Canada. Then
yeah,
we left.
Well, that's another story. I guess that's another story. Yeah. Would you have stayed in Paris given the opportunity?
Yes, I would have. Yeah. I absolutely would have. But Christophe had been there a long time.
Right.
And I really felt like my dreams had been realized being in Paris. And he was ready to move on. And I said, you know what? No problem. I understand what it feels like to want to leave a place, because when I was in California, I really felt like I wanted to leave. I mean, I loved California as a tourist, but, you know, working there is a different world.
Yeah.
So I said, why not come to Canada? I'm Canadian. So the paperwork was relatively easy. And here we are in Canada.
Well, and
we're trying it out.
You're in Calgary. So do you stampede?
The stampede is happening right now. And
right.
Yes, of course, of course.
And how does he feel about cowboy hats and music and all of that goes with that event?
At first, I think he felt like he was dressed up in a costume.
Yeah.
But, you know, after you go a few times, you feel a little more natural with your cowboy hat and cowboy boots. But really, the entire city dresses up in their cowboy gear. So you don't feel so much like you're in a costume also because everyone else is dressed up. And if you're not dressed up, they ask you why you're not dressed up. They really put a lot of effort into welcoming cowboys and the cowboy experience during the week of Stampede.
So can we expect the next book to be about a French cowboy in Calgary?
Ah, I don't know about that. But wouldn't that be interesting?
Well, maybe it would be. Now, I'm fascinated with what you've managed to put together in your Paris year. Were you out on the street with your easel and your watercolours, or do you tend to do that back in your apartment?
Well, not with my easel. I was a little bit too shy for that. I'm a shy artist. So I did have my journal and I did have my watercolors.
Right.
And that you can hide behind your coffee on your little cafe table. And if you're sitting at an angle, nobody really knows what's going on in your journal. So I did that. And of course, I did a lot more painting at home, kind of finessing some of the paintings. But no, I'm not that girl with the easel and the beret. That's too much equipment for me.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was staggered in the Louvre to find people sitting in front of great works of art, copying them onto canvas. And it seems to be tolerated. I'm not sure whether other galleries around the world would tolerate that sort of thing, but they seem to encourage it in Paris.
They do. They encourage it. And now that I couldn't do either, though. The Louvre is a little too busy for me because people would stand behind these artists and see what they're doing. And I just felt a little uneasy about that. So I did not do that. But hey, all those artists that are there fulfilling their dreams and sitting in the Louvre and copying paintings, go for it.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. Now, you reference Hemingway a bit in the book, and as I said to you, I'm a bit of a Hemingway fan. I've taken a book written about Hemingway in Paris, and I've wandered in his footsteps and saw where he used to catch pigeons in the Jardin de Luxembourg. He used to trap them in a pram, apparently, and then wring their necks and take them home to one of his four wives, maybe Hadley, I can't remember. So Hemingway obviously had some influence on you. Did you study him?
I did. I studied him. Of course, the most influential work of Hemingway was his memoir, A Movable Feast, which is his memoir of his time in Paris. So it's not his work that he was working on. It's the memory of that time. And for me, I lived in that neighborhood. You know, he lived just up Rue Mouffetard. So he was in my neighborhood walking the same streets as me. And I really fell for all of these beautiful lines in the book because he does talk, he talks about writing and the craft of writing.
Mm.
And as a writer, I was interested in that. And he's talking about this craft as he's walking the streets that I'm walking on and seeing the things that I'm seeing, because Paris doesn't change that much. So I felt those lines coming back to me as I was walking through some of these streets in Paris. And I really felt like he was, you know, my benevolent ghost kind of following me around and helping me write my own memoir of Paris.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful explanation that you give there. Do you feel like there's another book in you about Paris? You've obviously had rich experience there over, well, I don't know, how long since you left?
2 years. I left 2 years ago.
So you had five odd years there, right?
Yeah, five odd years, yeah.
So that's a rich sort of opportunity at the height of your creativity. But is there another book there, do you think?
I'm not sure. I really don't know. I mean, it's an odd place to be after a book is out in the world, the second book about Paris. And I think, gosh, do I have another book inside of me about Paris? But you know what I'm doing is I'm reading books. I'm reading a lot of samples from Amazon, in fact, just the initial books about France and about Italy and about Spain. I know my beat is Europe.
Yeah.
That I know for sure,
yeah.
But I'm not sure where in Europe. I mean, will I write a book about Italy or go on road trips in France or just stick to Paris? I'm not sure.
I think
it's an odd place.
You do a wonderful job on Barcelona.
But I love Barcelona. That could happen too.
Yeah, yeah. So are you full-time in this quest at the moment? Is that your life's work?
Well, my life's work currently is being a mother. I just had a baby.
Oh, did you? Congratulations.
So, yes. Yeah. We had a little baby recently. Her name is Amelie, and she's lovely and wonderful and a handful. So between doing book promotion and hanging out with Amelie, I'm a little bit strapped for time currently, but I also... I work from home, which is good for having a baby. And I have these Paris letters that I send out to people. So I paint a picture about Paris and I write a letter on it. And then I send it out to people who like mail about Paris. And a lot of people just like getting fun mail. It's kind of an older art. People are getting emails all the time. But it's really nice to get a letter in the mail. So I still do that. I have an Etsy shop where I do that. And I promote the book. And I do a lot of... wondering about what the next project's going to be.
Oh, well, it sounds fascinating. So if people want to get a letter from you, they can go online and sign up for that, can they?
Yeah, they can go to Etsy and type in Paris letters and they'll find me. My name is Janice. I'm the only Janice selling Paris letters.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. That'll be a bit of fun. Well, I'll put that in our on our SoundCloud site so people who are interested can do that. And we have a lot of listeners outside Australia via SoundCloud. And we've also got a group in Uzbekistan. Don't ask me who they are or why they're there, but they're in our top 10 every month. So say good day to the Uzbeks. And maybe some of them would like a letter from Paris.
of course.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. Well, Janice, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciated talking to you on Travel Writers Radio. And people can find A Paris Year by Janice McLeod in all good bookshops.
Yes, online and off.
You're listening to The Travel Writers Show.